Welcome to the Nourish Podcast. I'm Jas, a certified nutritional practitioner who specializes in reducing bloat. I've been able to passionately support hundreds of women get back to their bliss, and I cannot wait to help you do the same. Thank you for tuning in, and I'm so stoked to get started. Hope you guys are having an amazing start to your week. I am super stoked for this episode because I'm going to be talking to Jess, who is a friend of mine who is in the wellness space as well. And it's just like a really fun wellness girl chat. And also we talk about hormones, we talk about fertility, we talk about egg freezing, which I found so interesting. And I think so many of you who do listen are either interested in something like this or at that age where you want to start considering it. And so I just found it so exciting. I love talking to Jess. I feel like I always learn so much from her, and she's such an expert in this space. I feel like every time I see her post on Instagram, I literally stop every story just so I can read it because I gain so much knowledge from her. So if you aren't following her on Instagram, you have to. I'll have everything linked in the show notes so that you can take a look, but I really cannot recommend her enough, and I feel so excited and honored to have her on the podcast. So if you don't know Jess, Jess is a former litigation lawyer turned holistic nutrition health coach and certified hormone health practitioner. This is one of the coolest things I found about her, is that she's had this different life and she's really found herself through nutrition in feeling so much better, and then also turning it into a career because of the impact it had on her body, which I just find so inspiring. She helps women manage stress and find relief from symptoms of hormone and gut health issues. Through nutrition and lifestyle shifts, Jess helps women find balance in their lives and hormones. In addition to one-on-one nutrition coaching, Jess hosts corporate workshops and events for her community. If you're not following her already, like I said, give her a follow. I'm so excited for you to listen to this podcast. And as always, if you like this, please repost it, share it with a friend. There's so much that Jess shared in here that I just found so interesting. So I'm really excited for you guys to hear it and to hopefully share it with someone who may be needing it, especially when it comes to infertility or when it comes to egg freezing. I just found it so fascinating. And if you want more information about that too, you can actually go on her Instagram and she has a highlight with all of like the information when it comes to egg freezing, which I just like really appreciated the fact that she was so open and honest about this, because I feel like it's something that a lot of women go through and don't talk about. And I just found it so interesting. So I asked her a lot of questions because I knew nothing about it, but I think you guys are going to really like this episode and just like learn so much about little shifts that you can do when it comes to, you know, your morning coffee. How can you make it a little bit healthier? How can you make it a little bit supportive so that you're not getting that afternoon slump? Another thing I just realized, we also talked about how she's cut coffee in the past few years, and I asked her a few questions about this because I am a coffee drinker and I love coffee. I don't overdo it, I don't think, but like I'll have one cup and then sometimes two cups, but I just found it so interesting. So I loved the advice that she shared. So I hope you enjoy this episode. And with that, here is Jess. Hi, Jess. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to have you on.
Hi, Jess. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here and to chat with you today.
Of course. Honestly, just like I was saying, I always listen to your stories. I always read them. I feel like you're such a wealth of knowledge when it comes to this space. So I think it's going to be really great. And there's so many things that we're going to talk about that I think so many women struggle with, especially those who are so busy and don't know how to handle certain stressors. So I think it's going to be really fun. Before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, how you kind of started in this space and what brought you here?
Yeah, of course. So I am a former family law lawyer and litigator, and I worked in law for 4 years before I transitioned my career to holistic health. And so I started this whole journey into health and wellness while I was still working in the law. So I definitely, when you were referring to how this conversation is going to be helpful for busy women, women who are really stressed out, professional women, 100%, I can relate to that because that is where I come from. That's my background. So while I was working in law, I really loved the work that I was doing. I was so interested in it. I found it really challenging. It was a real privilege to do the work that I was and to sort of help people through this time in their life. But I also was really stressed out. I wasn't managing my stress well. I wasn't managing anxiety well. I had really bad sleep. I was waking up in the middle of the night, waking up early in the morning. I had energy crashes, sugar cravings. I was skipping meals. And then I was trying to be healthy. So I was also like going to workouts in the morning, waking up early to do them, pushing myself in like spin classes, boot camps, that kind of thing. And then also following like random wellness things that I thought were going to be helpful. And I was trying to manage all of it. And it was leaving me feeling so burnt out. And I knew that this was impacting my health, both physical and mental, in like the immediate future and also long term. Like, I just knew that this wasn't sustainable for me. So while I was still in law, that's when I sort of by happenstance saw one of my old friends post about IIN, which is the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. And that's where I studied and got my health coaching certification. And when she posted about it, I was really inspired sort of by her story, and it sounded really interesting to me. And that's how I ended up enrolling. I don't want to say it was on a whim, but it sort of was like my thought process going into it was like, you know what, worst case scenario, I'm going to learn a lot about my health. I'm going to learn more about nutrition. I'm interested in that space. So like, let's give it a shot. And best case scenario, I want to turn it into a career. And that's what ended up happening. And that's sort of how I got here.
That's amazing. I feel like there's so many women who feel the same way too. Like even you and I talking to women on a daily basis, there's so many times where we're just like burnt out, but we still don't know what adrenal fatigue is or the fact that our hormones play such a big role. What were like some of the things that you were doing when you felt super burnt out and you were like, okay, I need to like make a change? Was it before IIN or when you like when you started the course, you were like, okay, I'm going to try these few things out. And like, what did, for anyone who's like listening and that is like so burnt out, are there things that you would recommend that you did that made such a difference? Just feeling burnt out, knowing that sometimes you can't, like it's inevitable. If you're a lawyer, if you're working like a high stress job, it comes with the territory sometimes too. You just have to learn to adjust, I guess.
Yeah, totally. That's so true. And that's something that I always think about as well. Like when I'm working with my own clients, I want to really like emphasize that you don't need to quit your job. You don't need to change your life to get rid of the stress in it, to heal your hormones and to feel better. But there are actually so many like small things that you can do throughout your day, habits that you can build in that are going to make a huge difference and support you so that then you can be more efficient, more productive and happier at work or in your busy family life or whatever it is that's kind of like contributing to your high stress so that you can manage that better. When I was studying at IIN, I was still working in the law. And so it was like a really gradual transition for me of starting to integrate the things that I was learning in school in my life and starting to see improvements from those sort of like over time, which I think also really contributed to me like believing in how important they were because I was seeing that they were actually working for me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's actually so interesting. Like I like, hey, when you were a lawyer, was like, what were your hours like? I feel like, I think we've talked about this and we're like, no, you pretty much work all the time. So I'm sure just like adding in, like, we'll get into this, but like something in your morning to make you feel better was easier. But did you feel like you were just like constantly working and not able to like reset?
Yes, totally. I had really long work hours. For the last year of my practice, I worked part-time, which is what allowed me to pursue IIN and did definitely make an improvement in my work hours and things started getting better. Also, like I was a really young lawyer. I left in the third year of my practice and definitely those first few years of your practice are when you're really grinding, learning a lot. Like it's amazing. I learned so, so much during those years and grew a lot, but you're working long hours. And so you need to have those strategies in place for how are you going to be able to do that and then also take care of your health, right? Because that's what's going to lead you to being able to have a long-term and sustainable career, right? Because otherwise you are going to burn out. And I think that's why so many people in law end up leaving kind of in between like their third and fifth year of practice is because they don't have these tools. And so they're burnt out and they've got to make a change. So what I'm really like passionate about, because I care a lot about law, I want to keep good lawyers in the legal system, is actually giving people these tools for that long-term career. Like how can we actually get you in a place that you're able to stay in it longer?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And like, even for myself, like I know a few lawyers and it's the same conversation. It's just like a high stress job that requires so many hours. And as well as when you're passionate about something, it's like, even if you're so passionate about something, it can burn you out. And then it's just knowing the tools that you can use to make yourself feel better. So, okay. So for anybody who's listening and wants to kind of like, is like super stressed, works a lot of hours, or just has a busy schedule, what are like some things that you'd recommend? How would you recommend they start their mornings? Cause that's something we can like, even if it's like 10 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour, I feel like we still have some time to make a difference.
Yes, totally. Okay, I love a good morning routine, but I know that not everybody has time in the morning for like a 10-step morning routine. And so one thing that I'm really obsessed with right now, and I think everybody can benefit from, is reducing our screen time in the morning. I know for myself, I was in the habit for a long time of waking up and having the first thing that I do be check my phone, mm-hmm. read my emails, look at Instagram, whatever it is. And I think when people are super busy and stressed out and being pulled sort of in 100 directions, and I've been there personally, instead of adding something more to their plate, like, okay, here's 5 things you have to do in the morning, I want to start by taking something off their plate. Like, that's actually reduce the number of things that you're doing instead of adding on to it.
I love that.
And so not looking at your phone is kind of an example of that, mm-hmm. right? Like, instead, that's take phone time in the morning off your plate and add in something else in its place. When you open your phone first thing in the morning, you're just like being inundated with stress right away. So you're reading stressful work emails, you're looking at the news, you're looking at social media, all of these things are stressful. And then right away, you're like right in it. So instead, can we take some time in the morning to connect with ourselves, to set ourselves up for the day? And so take that phone time off and then replace it with something that's going to be good for you. And I think something that's really easy for that is getting your face in the sun in the morning. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people talk about that, and it's for good reason. This is so important for your circadian rhythm, for improving your sleep. If you're stressed mm-hmm. out, you probably have bad sleep or poor sleep. And so starting in the morning and setting yourself up for how you're going to have a good sleep that night is really important. So just taking 5 minutes to like sit on your balcony or your front step or go on a walk around the block, whatever it is. And that's especially like great for this time of year. It's starting to become nicer mm-hmm. out. It's brighter in the morning. So it's a good time to do that.
I know, it feels so much better now, like being able to see the sun way early. It's like raining today and it feels like our like past winter. Like this winter has been so weird, but the phone thing is such a good point, because like even for myself, it's something I'm like still trying to work on. Some days I'll like check my phone, other days I'm fine. When I check my phone, I notice I just like am so much more tired for the entire day. It's because it's the first thing that you're doing, but I'm really gonna like actively just start to put it in a different room and just like use a different alarm clock, because I use my phone as my alarm. And I was in like this really good habit of doing that, and then I just like fell back, but it does make such a difference. And I like how you pointed that out, and the fact that it's like, you don't have to add all of these things into your morning routine. You can just literally take something out, and I guarantee that's going to give you like 20 minutes minimum of your day if you're doing something like that.
100%. Yeah. I think it's such a great experiment just to do with yourself. Like,
yeah.
What you feel when you wake up in the morning and you look at your phone right away, and then the next morning take that 20 minutes or half an hour or whatever it is to not look at your phone first thing and see how you feel for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the best way. I mean, I think that applies to so many things in health and wellness. We're being told to do so many different things. Mm-hmm. There's so much to navigate, but doing these kind of experiments on yourself to really see how they make a difference in your life and how you feel, I think is going to be the most impactful. And it's going to be what makes you want to stick with it, right?
Yeah.
Because you're going to start to feel like, oh, that actually made a difference. Now I'm really inspired to tomorrow spend, you know, the first hour without my phone, where it is.
Yeah. And it's like literally an easy thing for us to do. Like it doesn't require, it's just like not checking your phone. It doesn't require you to like get up, go to a workout class. Like there's so many other things that could be so much more energy involving. It's even like with cold plunges. I think cold plunges are great for the right person, but I feel like everyone, like I, with my clients, they'll be like, okay, well I cold plunge at this place in my city, I do this and that. I go to a sauna 3 times a week, and I'm like, okay, that's great. But like, you don't have to be spending so much money or doing all these like excessive things. It can really just start from something as small as the screen time or waking up in the morning and like going outside or going on a walk after dinner before you eat. Like, there's so many little things that you can do that don't require all this like
I don't know. It's like, I love the wellness space so much, but I do think it's excessive. Like, it's like you can have a morning routine that's 20 steps and it just gets so crazy. And so I think it's like so important to have these like little tips. So I appreciate that. What about like if someone is super busy? So we're talking to like to women who are just like hustling and work, super busy and trying to find time for themselves, feeling burnt out. If they go to like, let's say a cafe every morning and get a large latte, let's say it's like, yeah, a large latte with oat milk, what would you recommend that they swap, or do you think that's okay?
Okay, I love this question because I love these like small swaps and small shifts that you can make. Those are the things that like get me really excited because they're what start to move the needle, right? Is like these small little things that you can do. If what you love is having your oat milk latte in the morning, like keep doing that. I don't want to restrict, but if you're open to making changes that might like experimenting with that and seeing how it feels, then I have a lot of suggestions and I think it can make a really big difference. And so like the first thing, you could just start with the milk, right? So oat milk is great. I love it. It tastes great, but it is like it's a juiced carbohydrate. And so it's not the best option for your blood sugar. And especially if you're not having anything else in the morning, if you're just having the coffee and the oat milk, then that's going to lead to a blood sugar spike. And so can you swap out for a nut milk? And then you're at least getting some healthy fats in there. Mm-hmm. So that's like a really small one, right? Another option would be, if you're open to it, trying a matcha instead. I love matcha personally. I'm not a huge coffee drinker just because I notice it like makes me really anxious. And I think that's true for a lot of people that tend towards being more anxious, that coffee can really have that impact on them. Sometimes taking it out can make a huge difference, and swapping it in for matcha, you're still getting caffeine. It's just a slower release. So you're going to have less of an impact on your blood sugar, less jitters, less anxiety. So those are sort of two like easy swaps that you could do. Another thing that, you know, I'm really excited about is people eating breakfast in the morning. And yeah. So you're just having your coffee in the morning. If you can just like get something in you, I kind of think about these types of choices as being on a spectrum, right? And so there's like the best case scenario, which is you're having a breakfast at home that is high protein, healthy fats, unrefined carbs, fiber. That's best case scenario. That's not always practical, right? But maybe like somewhere in between that and not eating at all is grabbing something on the way. Maybe you're grabbing hard-boiled eggs or a smoothie, like a nut butter toast or an avocado toast, a chia pudding, that kind of thing. Something just in the morning to give yourself a little bit of fuel. That's good for giving you energy throughout the day, supporting your adrenals, telling your body like, okay, we have energy, we have fuel, and will also help to kind of mitigate that blood sugar and caffeine spike from your coffee. And again, like then you can even, like if we're thinking about the spectrum, there's also like a step even further down from that, which is like, okay, maybe you're having a croissant that has like ham and cheese on it. Mm-hmm. That's not the best case scenario, but it's something. It's giving you a little bit of protein and it's giving you some fuel for the day.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I think that that's actually really helpful in terms of, I'm just curious because I feel like a lot of people who listen to my podcast are also in like the Toronto area. What are some of your favorite cafes for matchas in the city?
Yeah, so I was going to say that actually, that if you have a morning routine of going to a certain coffee shop on the way to work, there are so many places in Toronto now that have such amazing options. Like sort of the ones that come to my mind are like Nut Bar, Impact Kitchen, IQ Foods, Fresh. There's so many places like this that have healthy options and are honestly just as common as coffee shops that are doing like coffee and croissants. So yeah. If you're in the routine of going to a coffee shop on the way to work, just looking at what's in your neighborhood, seeing is there one of those options on the way or a different one that has healthy breakfast options, and stopping there instead can make a huge difference. So those are definitely some of my favorites, but there's so many good ones in Toronto.
Amazing. I know Nut Bar is like so, so good. I remember when I was living in Vancouver, it was actually kind of hard to find like a good healthy place that did everything so well. But Nut Bar, it's like their super matcha is amazing. And actually that's a really good point too. With Nut Bar, they have like house made milk, so you're actually getting like the healthy fats from it. They actually have like a post on their Instagram, which I found so interesting, kind of comparing like your store-bought nut milk versus their nut milk, and just the amount of almonds and everything that they put in there is so crazy. But their super matcha specifically has like the healthy fats, has all of these like adrenal support kind of superfoods too. So it's definitely like a bit of a pricier place, but you pay for what you get.
100%. I agree. I love Nut Bar. That is my favorite Saturday morning routine, is walking my dog, going to Nut Bar, getting a matcha or a smoothie or something. Like, it's such a treat. And yeah, 100%. It's like a little bit more expensive, but you feel better and you're getting something that's a lot more nutrient dense and good for you. So I think it's worth it.
I love that. I also, just as you're saying that, I love making routines that are healthy like that. How you're just like, this is like my favorite thing to do on Saturdays. And I think when it comes to nutrition, especially when you're new to the wellness space, having little routines like that, that you look forward to and treat yourself to, feels so good. Like, I think it just inspires you to continue on just like feeling better, you know?
100%. I agree. One thing that I always think about is how much one healthy decision leads to another one. And so, I don't know, to me, that's just like so inspiring. It's like that feeling you get when you go to a workout class, or when you go get a massage and you like feel like yourself again and you feel good and you're like, okay, now I want to cook dinner at home tonight.
Yeah.
And I want to like get a bottle of water, and I, like all these like little things that once you start feeling good, you're like remembering how good it feels. And you want to just like continue on that trajectory. And so I always am like, okay, it's just one decision that then starts a cascade of others that make you feel really good. So 100% having those routines and like habits that start you on that trajectory is huge.
Yeah, it's so true. And it especially too, like if you have friends who are interested in the same thing, it helps so much. Cause I think like a lot of women, this was my case for sure too. With my friends, like I felt like the odd one out who is always like trying to be healthy, who is like didn't really want to go out and drink. And like, I definitely was from like a restrictive point of view, like from a health wise, I was like, I just, alcohol is so bad for you. Now I've changed so much, but it's nice when you have friends who also feel the same, because then you enjoy those habits even more, or even like a partner that feels the same. Cause it just feels like if you can share that feeling with other people, it just feels so good.
Totally. 100%. And also when we're so busy, right?
Like
you're trying to fit everything in. And so if you can also have that social time, that time with your friends where you're going on a walk, getting something healthy to eat, or going to a workout class, or going to a sauna, or whatever it is, that's such a nice way to like connect with people in your life and also do something that makes you feel good. I don't know about you. Maybe it's just the age that I'm at, but I feel like a lot of my friends are tending towards that direction. Like, people want to do things on the weekend that make them feel good. And so I don't know, maybe that's just like turning 30, but
yeah, no,
a nice shift. I like welcome it.
Same here. I know I'm 29 turning 30 in August, which is so crazy. I think you're 20. Are you 29? Okay.
I'm turning 31 in May, which is really
fun. Oh my gosh. So soon. Okay. Yeah. Amazing. Well, I know I feel the same. I feel like a lot of my friends now are like, do you want to just go for a walk in coffee or walk in tea? Or even they'll be like, I don't know if I feel like drinking. And it's actually nice to be at that place where everyone's just like so leveled now, you know?
100%. I agree.
Yeah. And it's also nice to like be able to like, I don't know, like inspire your friends to feel excited to do that kind of stuff and like allow them to kind of lead that. But okay, you focus on hormone health. I'm curious, what are some like myths that bother you? Or if you can give us some examples that you're like, this is such a hormone myth.
Okay. I love this question because there are so many out there, especially now there's so much information online and elsewhere that it can be really, really confusing to navigate. One that really like that I connect to, or that really like resonates with me, is the myth that fat is bad for you, or that fat makes you fat. I'm a 90s baby. I grew up in the era of no fat diets, low fat diets, and thinking, like, I remember thinking, if I eat fat, it's going to make me fat. I remember thinking, like, you know, whole milk is disgusting, like full fat yogurt is so bad for you, like having all these notions that eating something with fat was really bad for you, was going to lead to heart disease and those types of conditions. And it's just not true. Like, fat somehow got the worst rep. I think now that's like being shifted towards carbs having a really bad rep. But I think on both of those, on fat and carbs, the truth is that they're both essential macronutrients. Like, we need both of them in our diets. Fat particularly, we need for good hormone health. It's the building block of our hormones. So if we're not having enough fat, then we're not supporting the production of the hormones that we need. And on that, like, we're talking about healthy fats, right? This doesn't mean that we should go out and be like having a lot of trans fats or rancid fat from seed oils, things like that. We want to be getting healthy dietary fats. So, you know, wild caught fish, extra virgin olive oil, organic avocados, nuts and seeds, like things like this, grass fed butter, full fat cheese or yogurt, like those types of sources of healthy fat are really important for good hormone health. And so I think we need to not be scared of having fat in our diet and kind of dispelling that myth that it's going to make us fat.
Yeah. And you, I like something I've been noticing so much too, is like, now we're on this like protein craze where everyone's like protein, protein, you have to get this amount of protein. You don't need that much fat, but it's like, you also have to know that these kinds of things come in waves and trends. And it's so true. Like, I feel like, well, I remember when it was like, when fats were the huge, like with keto, right? And now it's like high protein, paleo, everyone's talking about it, but you have to like level it out. And especially too, it's like, what works for someone who is struggling with digestive issues isn't going to work for someone who is struggling with hormonal issues. And especially like you're saying, for hormonal health, that's so true. For anyone that's listening, how much like fat would you say they should get in per day? Like, I don't know if you can give us an example of like, even like avocados, or, because I know this is something I always get asked, is like, okay, well, how much fat should I be having?
Yeah, that's a good question. This isn't a very satisfying answer, but honestly, it depends. It's really bio-individual, and it depends on that person and what their lifestyle is like. I think a good rule of thumb is to try to have some fat in every meal, have healthy fat in every meal. But again, combine that with protein, combine it with fiber, greens, unrefined carbs, and have that balance.
Okay.
And do it so it feels good for you as well, right?
Yeah.
But I remember, like, I don't know who told me this. I remember thinking that you could only have like a quarter of an avocado a day or something. Like, more than that was too much fat. And that's just not true. Like, your body can have more than that. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be different for everybody, like what the right amount is. And you can experiment and see what feels good for you, but not being scared of it and incorporating those things in your diet, I think, is really important.
Yeah, that's so true. And especially, as you said, especially for your hormones. So if you could give one piece of advice for women who are struggling with their hormones, what would you say?
Oh my gosh, I have a lot of pieces of advice. I think the first one, which is like really broad and really applies to everyone and is more about a mindset shift than it is about like a specific habit that we should incorporate, is that I think hormones get a really bad rep. We think about hormones as being related to our cycle exclusively. We think about being hormonal as being a negative thing, right? Like, it kind
of
images of like women being hysterical and right. Like, it's so negative and it's rooted in so many stereotypes and like misogyny kind of. And the truth is, like, hormones control everything, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they really rule the world when it comes to our health. They control our sleep, our hunger. They control our energy, our sex drive. They control whether our skin is clear or whether we have acne. They control our stress, our weight, our moods, our digestion. Like, for every function in your body, it's being controlled by a hormone reaction. And so understanding that and seeing your hormones as something that's in control of all these functions, I think, is really important. And then understanding how you can make shifts to support your hormones so that you can have like better outcomes in all these areas is so important, right? So I just mentioned all the areas that hormones impact. So if we can learn to understand how our hormones work and support it, then we can have better sleep. We can have better mood. We can have a better sex drive. We can have better skin, better hair, like all these things. So I think shifting and starting to understand that and being like, okay, I want to learn about my hormones. I want to learn how to support them, I think, is the first kind of like step.
Okay, amazing. I feel like that like leads to so much too. I know you and I both talk a lot about liver health, and I still believe that a lot of people don't understand like why it's so important to support your liver, but I'm wondering like what some of your best tips are, and maybe even like, especially when it comes to hormones, why is it so important to focus on your liver?
For sure. I agree. I think liver support is really neglected, and it's so important for your overall health, because your liver is your body's filtration system. It's processing everything that we're ingesting. So everything we're eating, drinking, absorbing, breathing in is going through our liver and being processed. So we need to support that system. For hormones specifically, it's the site of so much hormone metabolism. And so it's really important that your liver is functioning well to metabolize your hormones in a healthy way, to process them, get rid of any excess hormones, right? So a lot of women experience estrogen dominance, having excess estrogen. And a big cause behind that can be having a sluggish liver that isn't properly processing and metabolizing your estrogen, or isn't doing that in a healthy way. And so then you end up with excess estrogen in your body. So that's sort of like one example of how your liver impacts your hormones. Mm-hmm. In terms of things that I do or that I'd recommend people do to support their liver health, I think from a nutrition perspective, there's so much we can do in terms of what we eat. Mm-hmm. So focusing on having more cruciferous vegetables, so broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, bok choy, things like that are really, really good for your liver health, especially when it comes to hormones. Having citrus, so lemon, grapefruit, having that in your water or in your salad dressings, things like that, that you can kind of do to incorporate them throughout the day is really important. From a lifestyle perspective, I think a really big one is sweating. So exercising to sweat, going to saunas. I love going to a sauna. Mm-hmm. Anything that you can do to sweat is going to help support your drainage pathways and keep things moving.
Amazing. On that note, actually, do you think, like, as we were talking about women who are super busy and are just like dealing with adrenal fatigue, do you think it's possible to heal your hormones when you're dealing with high cortisol or high stress levels?
Yes, 100%. It is always possible to heal your hormones and to support them. When you're dealing with high cortisol, managing that and getting your adrenal health in a better spot is often the first step in your hormone journey. So when we talk about hormones, we often sort of see it as three systems. The first being your adrenal axis, which is responsible for cortisol and your anti-stress hormones. Then we have your ovaries, which are your sex hormones, and your thyroid. And when we think about these three systems, obviously they all impact one another. And for a lot of people, the adrenals are the first system that start to, like, where you start to have dysfunction, and then that's going to impact the other ones. And mm-hmm. so for a lot of people, they're seeing issues with their sex or their thyroid hormones, and the root cause is actually their adrenals. And so addressing high cortisol and managing your stress is often the first step in healing your hormones.
Okay.
But I really want to emphasize here that that doesn't mean that you can't heal your hormones and have a stressful job, or you can't heal your hormones and have a busy family life. Like, it doesn't mean, so when you say, like, can you have high cortisol and still heal your hormones? It's like, yes, you can have a stressful life and also support your mm-hmm. hormones. But that's where I really want to focus with people on building in strategies and tools to help them manage stress. So you can do that through nutrition. How can we support our bodies to be more resilient to stress? And through lifestyle, how can we start to bring in different practices that support our adrenals, that help us sleep better? How can we manage our stress better? So 100%, it's possible, but you've got to have these tools and techniques to manage stress, because it's going to be really hard to support your sex or thyroid hormones if you have high cortisol.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's also like you were saying, like, if you have a stressful job, you don't have to quit. You just have to, like, figure out tools to manage everything. So especially with hormones, because it takes a while to balance your hormones. So it's the patience that also comes with it. But okay, switching gears, I just, like, personally wanted to ask you this, because I know that you have been going through a journey yourself, and you are currently embryo freezing. I think that's, like, the proper term, or egg freezing. I'm just curious, like, how's your process been? And I know so many women are curious about this, so I just thought it'd be interesting for you to kind of chat about it. And I know it's interesting going through this as a nutritionist who specializes, a coach who specializes in hormones, because you're probably noticing, like, all these, like, dips and highs on, like, taking hormones specifically.
Yes. Yeah. I'm happy to chat about it. I'm done the process. So my partner and I were doing embryo freezing. So what that means is I did an egg retrieval, same way that you would do if you were going through IVF, or if you were freezing eggs and not embryos. And then after that, they make embryos, they test them, and then they freeze them. And I concluded that at the end of March. So I'm out of it now, which is really nice.
Amazing.
And I shared a lot about that on my Instagram as well. So if anyone's curious to sort of like really get into the nitty gritty of it, I shared everything about the process on there. It was really, really interesting to go through, especially as somebody who's so aware of my hormones and understanding them. It's kind of a frustrating process because I knew so many things that I could do to make myself feel better. Like I spent so much time focusing on balancing and supporting my hormones. And then I was in this process where I was taking drugs to purposefully manipulate them and to kind of put them out of whack on purpose. And so I was like feeling all these effects and then not wanting to do the nutrition and the lifestyle things to reverse them, of course, right? Like I want the outcome. I want to take the drugs and have them work. And of course, also like when you're taking drugs at that type of dose, nutrition and lifestyle hacks aren't really going to like help bring them into balance. So that was really interesting for me to sort of like go through from that perspective. Yeah, I'm happy to sort of like chat about it, answer any specific questions about the process or my experience. I know it's something that's on so many women's minds. Mm-hmm. It's something I don't think that we talk about that openly. And so I'm happy to kind of share my experience to get that conversation a little bit more out there.
Yeah, I found it like so interesting that you were talking about this on socials because not a lot of people talk about it. And I think it's just so good that you're sharing it because I know so many women who have been wanting to do this, but don't know where to start. And it is like a kind of scary process to go through, especially for you, someone who is like so in tune with their hormones. I'm sure you were like low-key freaking out the whole time when you were like having all these highs and lows. I'm curious, do you think that women have to like have balanced hormones prior to doing this, or like do the medications just like help to balance or help regardless?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question. I think that there's a lot that you can do in advance to support your fertility. So, you know, in terms of balancing your hormones, getting yourself in a place where you're having regular cycles, where you're ovulating, that's going to be important for that process. In terms of supplements, there's things that you can take in advance. So I was taking a prenatal, I was taking oocyte sap, which was a egg quality supplement with Q10. I was taking vitamin D and C. I've also heard that omega-3s are recommended. So in terms of things that you can do before to like boost your fertility, there are things nutrition, lifestyle, supplement-wise that you can do. Once you're in the process, I think that the biggest focus has to be on lifestyle and things that you can do to just support yourself feeling good in it, because there's nothing you can do when you're in it to support or balance your hormones. Like they're being purposefully taken out of balance. And so I think just focusing on the lifestyle things, like what can you do to support yourself through this process? Because it's not always easy, like it's challenging. So how can you have those systems in place that are going to make you feel a little bit better, going to make it a little bit easier to go through it? And just remembering that it's temporary. That's something that I was reminding myself of a lot throughout the process, especially when it felt challenging. I was like, you know what? I know that when this is over, I have the tools to get myself back into balance, to make myself feel good again.
So because of the medications and the hormones that you were on right now, has it like imbalanced your hormones? I don't know if that's like a silly question to ask, but has it like thrown everything out of whack, or once you're off of it, you're feeling a little bit normal?
Yeah, for me, I think I'm really sensitive to taking synthetic hormones. Like I didn't love the birth control pill. I really didn't love the IUD.
Yeah.
And when I started my fertility treatment, I noticed basically on day one, like I started feeling it right away. So I think I'm really sensitive to it. I don't know that that's the case for everybody. I've heard kind of mixed things from different women. Mm-hmm. Some people felt the same as I did. Other people, you know, went through this process and had like a much easier time on it. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Okay. I was like, what did you ask me again? Okay. How did I feel at the end of it? When I stopped taking them, I noticed an improvement like almost right away again. So similarly as like when I started it, I noticed it right away. When I went off them, I started to feel better right away. I think it's too early to say how that's going to impact my hormones and whether I'm going to have to do some work to like rebalance and support things. I think it helps that I have a lot of these tools or like habits already in place. So I feel like I can get myself back on track pretty quickly. But I wouldn't be surprised if I have like some excess estrogen for a while that I need to work on, like, how can I detox that? How can I rebalance those types of things?
Yeah, that's so interesting. I don't think a lot of us think about that. Like, I didn't until as you were talking, I was like, wait, this is like, because it's similar, but it isn't similar to like getting off of birth control and being like, okay, what can I do to balance, detox, and like support your body? But thankfully, you're like the best person to go through this because you have all the tools and know exactly what to do. But yeah, if anybody is interested in like embryo freezing, definitely look at Jess's page because she has so much information on it. And it's just, it's really like helpful to see you talk about it because there's so many things that I don't think a lot of us think about when it comes to this kind of stuff and like just like the preparation or even coming off of it. And also just knowing that those are options, you know?
Totally. And I'm so happy to share about it. I was definitely nervous to do so. It felt like a really like vulnerable and personal thing to be posting about online. Mm-hmm. But when I did, I had so many women message me telling me either that they had gone through it and they were happy to see me talking about it, giving me tips to go through it, or people who are in the mix now or who are considering it. And I just think so many women our age, it's something that's on their mind or that they're going through because they're trying to get pregnant or they're wanting to preserve their fertility for the future. And so just having these conversations, I think, is really important. And so I'm happy to share.
Oh, that's amazing. That like really brings you closer to your community too, which is so nice.
It honestly, it was really rewarding, which I think, is like that. I feel like social media often can be, you know, a way to disconnect or to feel like further away from people. Mm-hmm. Sometimes feel that way, but it brings me so much joy when I like am having conversations with people online about this subject or about other things that I'm posting about. It's so, so rewarding and I'm so happy to do it. And those are the moments where I'm like, okay, this is why I'm in it.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that. Okay. So last question, if you were still in your lawyer days, what are like some of the things that you would do day to day to support hormones and energy? Now that you have all this information, now that you're so passionate about helping others feel this way, are there things that you would recommend for women to just like see a difference and feel better?
Yes, I have so many things. And I actually am always thinking like, I wish that I had these tools in the first few years of my practice because they would have helped me so much. And I just didn't have them. I was too young. I was too stressed out. And I really didn't like appreciate the impact that they would actually have, right? Like, right. I think when you're in that moment, you're like, yeah, okay. Like eating healthy is important. Sleep is important, but it's such a low priority.
Yeah.
And now that I've gone through this transition, I realize how important these things are. And so I think they're so, so important to prioritize. I think one thing that I would try to change or that I'd recommend women who are in that mix now kind of focus on is not working late at night if you can avoid it. So I know sometimes you have to, you have a deadline, you've got to work late. But on the nights when you don't have to, if you can try and avoid it and instead prioritize getting into bed early and getting a good sleep, sleep is so not overrated. We need to focus more on it. We need to prioritize it, especially if you're in a high stress situation. When we're sleeping, our adrenals are healing. And so what was happening for me, at least, is I would get a cortisol spike at night. So I'd feel really productive at night. You get that kind of like second wind after dinner where you're feeling like, okay, I'm going to like bang out a bunch of work or I'm going to clean my whole apartment or whatever. I think a lot of women can relate to feeling that way, like having that energy surge right before bed. And it's so tempting to like capitalize on that and get a bunch of stuff done. But the flip side of that is that then you're waking up feeling exhausted. You didn't get enough sleep. You're tired throughout the day. And then you're on this pattern of feeling exhausted all day and then wired at night. And then you're just like continuing on that cycle. So if instead we can start to prioritize getting good sleep, getting into bed early, then you're going to wake up feeling rested. You're going to be productive throughout the day and you can kind of like get off this train.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's one thing that I would really do. The other one just quickly is eating throughout the day. when I was working a lot, I wasn't prioritizing eating. So I'd often like forget to have lunch or have lunch at 3 or 4 p.m. And again, like I know sometimes that happens. You can't help it. You're really busy. You're in court. You're whatever else. You have meetings all day. But most days when you're like in your office and you have a little bit more control over your schedule, can you prioritize having 3 meals a day? And that's going to be huge for balancing your blood sugar. So that's going to help with energy crashes, sugar cravings, that type of thing. And it's going to be amazing for stress management too, because you're giving your body fuel to get you through the day. So you're telling your body like, okay, it's okay, actually, like I got you, we're going to have lunch, instead of being in this fasted state where your body's like, okay, I'm really stressed out. First of all, everything going on today. But second of all, I'm also not being fed. So now you're kind of going into survival mode now. So we want to take ourselves out of that and feed ourselves.
I love that. And I feel like anybody can like relate to that in their lives too. Did you drink a lot of coffee when you were a lawyer? Like, were you also running off of that, or it was just not something you really used?
Yes, no, totally. I did. I definitely was a morning coffee person, but more than that, I was like an evening coffee person. Like I would have like 6 p.m. coffee or something, you know, like I'd be like, okay, it's 6 p.m. I'm going to do a bunch of work for the rest of the night. I'm going to have a coffee to fuel that. And obviously that's going to keep you up late, especially as somebody who's sensitive to caffeine. And I noticed a huge shift when I stopped drinking coffee. And my partner actually stopped recently as well. Like maybe a year ago, he stopped drinking coffee. Like whatever, we'll still like have a cappuccino on the weekend, like kind of indulge when we want to have it. But in terms of a regular basis, when he stopped, he noticed a huge improvement, especially in that afternoon energy slump. So time between like 3 and 5, when you're kind of tired, you're starting to crave like having a little treat or needing a second coffee. He's noticed, and I had the same experience, and I think a lot of other people have as well, that they've shared with me, a huge difference in that time and just having more sustainable energy throughout the day.
Interesting.
And it's so counterintuitive, right? Because it's like we have coffee to give us energy, and it's actually like it's not doing that. It's such a short, it's like giving it to us and then it's taking it away.
Yeah.
And so what can we do instead that's just going to give us energy and then not take it back
after? Yeah, it's so interesting. I remember a few in 2021, I quit coffee for I think 2 months and I felt so much better. And then obviously like once you have it, it's just like such a comfort thing, but I've been having so much more matcha and I genuinely do feel such a difference. Like if I'm like, okay, I want to be productive, I'll actually have a matcha as opposed to a coffee, because the coffee will just like, it just gives you too much energy. But it's also nice to have it like on the weekends. For anyone who is like thinking about doing like a little bit of a coffee detox, what would like the first steps be maybe that you would give them? This is just like a side note question.
Question. I think that what I would do is start. Okay. If you're like really relying on your coffee, then start by doing like half decaf or something. Like let's take baby steps. And so do half decaf or have your coffee. It's kind of in the morning, wait later to have it. Try to wait, you know, half an hour if you have it right away, and then wait a 60 minutes and then wait 90 minutes, have it later. But if you're having an afternoon coffee, have it earlier in the day or replace it with a green tea or a matcha or half decaf, or have a decaf coffee altogether just to have that like ritual and that taste. And and then transition that way, right? So like baby steps, I think, are way more sustainable than, you know, waking up tomorrow and being like, okay, I'm not going to have, you know, I'm going to go from 2 cups of coffee to 0. And now I'm a matcha girl. Go from, you know, I'm going to have my morning coffee a little bit later after I've had breakfast, and my afternoon coffee, I'm going to have a matcha instead, or I'm going to have a tea or whatever it is. And I think that's a really good way to sort of like make your transition off coffee, if that's your ultimate goal, a little bit smoother and probably more sustainable.
Okay. I love that. And then, so if you aren't doing coffee, how do you like increase your energy in the morning? Or are you having like a matcha in the morning? Cause I like, for a lot of people, including myself, it's like the ritual to just like get started for the day, you know?
Totally. I think that my first answer to that is that if you are supporting your hormones, you're going to have good energy in the morning.
Yeah. Great.
If you're waking up feeling like it's really hard to get out of bed, feeling really tired in the morning, then that's a sign that something is out of balance and we need more support. So I think that's the first sort of like thing to recognize, is that we shouldn't, if we're reliant on our coffee to make us feel awake in the morning, then maybe there's a sign that something else is going on. But then the second part of that is, there's also things that you can do to make yourself feel more awake in the morning, right? And so yeah. I think first, we talked about screen time today, reducing screen time, mm-hmm. getting sunlight in your eyes, rehydrating, having water. I know that we both love a lemon water in the morning. Yes. So put a little bit of lemon in there. It goes back to what we were talking about with our liver health. Getting some mm-hmm. citrus in there is great. A morning workout is really good as mm-hmm. well to kind of boost energy. And all of those things are going to go towards supporting your circadian rhythm, so your sleep habits, but also your cortisol pattern. So our mm-hmm. cortisol functions like on a 24-hour diurnal pattern. And what we want to do is support its natural like peak in the morning. And then it sort of starts to taper off throughout the day as you get ready to go to sleep. And so supporting that by, you know, we should have the most energy in the morning. So that's a great time mm-hmm. to work out. Working out gives you more energy. It's going to support that long term.
Amazing. I love that. That's so, so helpful. I love how we just like went into that conversation so organically, because it's something that I don't hear about a lot. And it's just interesting to hear like your perspective on it. So before you go, can you tell us where we can find you and like how you work with women? I'll have it on the show notes, but it's also nice to like hear you talk about it too.
Yes, of course. So you can find me on Instagram. My handle is well-to-do with 3 L's in well. My website is getwelltodo.com. And that's where you can find out more about my programs. So I work one-on-one with women through, I have 6 and 12 week coaching programs for gut and hormone health. And I also do corporate workshops and events in my community. So I have some events coming up in May and June that I'll be posting more about on my socials as well, that I'm really excited about. Usually a mix of like a Pilates or yoga class, and then a workshop on the types of things that we've been talking about today. So gut, hormone health, stress management, all those good things. So you can find me all those places to stay up to date with what's going on.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on. This was so nice to just like chat with you, have like a wellness chat, and I'm excited for everyone to hear this episode.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited. I hope it's helpful for everyone that's listening, and it's been really fun.
Amazing.